When I was, I guess, 12 or 13, I had a niece. Maybe I was a little older than that. She makes her living in music now. She sang since she was a little bitty thing, and she was about 4 years old and missing both her front teeth. And she would sing, "I'm a Promise with a capital P." I don't know if y'all remember that song. Way too cute. Of course, she's gone on to sing at Passion Conference, Louis Giglio's Passion Conference. She's made songs with David Crowder and a bunch of different people. But anyway, you're a promise today. And today is a new day. And God is giving you resurrection life. And whether you realize it or not, He's working on you. He's bringing life to dead places. So if you can stand the stretch, He'll pull you through. Amen? He's going to get you there. This week, I had a couple of different conversations with two different people about isolation. And it began to kind of ring in my spirit. I began to think about how it has affected my life and affected others. And I really felt like God led me to speak on being isolated today. A few years ago, probably way more than I realize by now, Tom Hanks made a movie, was in a movie called Castaway. And how many of you remember or saw that movie? Okay, so a lot of you have. For those of you who have not, it's a story about a guy who's on a FedEx airplane. He works for FedEx. He's going to a meeting or something, I think. And the plane crashes, and he's the only survivor, and it's Tom Hanks. And he winds up on an island, a deserted island, by himself trying to survive. And because the plane was a FedEx plane, if I'm remembering this correctly, I could have, you know, studied it, but who wants to study, to, you know, to preach? So, I'm kidding. I studied everything else but the movie, right? Because that's not spiritual. So, third service, y'all with me, right? Y'all get my jokes and everything. Okay. So, he's on this island, and stuff is just floating up, this random stuff and packages that he opens. Well, one package has a volleyball in it, and it's got a handprint on it, like a blood handprint on it, and he etches a face in it, and it's a Wilson volleyball, and so he calls the volleyball Wilson, and that becomes his friend. He literally talks to the volleyball. He has arguments with the volleyball. You know, he apologizes. The isolation that he's experienced on that island obviously begins to get to him. And it's funny and it's sad to watch the movie because it's so hard on him. And even the end of it has some sadness to it. Isolation is really, it is a sad thing. We experience the we factor here. That's what we call community. True community. And I want to say that authentic community. We want you to experience authentic community, not just gathering, not just being here and seeing each other, but really connecting with people. So we have small groups so you can do that. We have a Wednesday night services so that we can get into different teaching. We encourage you to do life together. And that is a core value of who we are because we believe God has called us to love God and love people, right? And you can't love each other if we're not connected. So I would say the opposite of our core value of the we factor or authentic community would be isolation. To be isolated would be just the opposite. So we share together. Can I just tell you something that was shared with me this morning, just kind of a side thing that can be an encouragement to you? So Gibson is a little boy that comes to our church. I guess he's about two. And he's Devin and Ashley's little boy. He's Denise and Chris Arnold's grandson. And he loves Pastor Keith. And I connected with him when I first got here. I have a picture on my phone of me holding him. Just a cute, cute little boy. He has dimples. Who cares? But got pretty little lips and everything. And he's coming in. Then this morning, when he sees me, the first thing he says is, "I pooped in the potty." It's like, yeah. Yeah, way to go, Gibson. So I just thought that was the coolest thing, you know. Not many pastors get that, you know. The mega church pastors don't get that, I'm just telling you. But when you do the Gosh Life together, you get everything, right? So we're celebrating with Gibson today. Way to go, buddy. He's probably wearing big boy underwear and all that, you know. Okay, so isolation. Let's look at how Satan wants us to be isolated, how that's used against us and against each other. Let's look at beginning with Proverbs 18, verse 1. A man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. Another version says an unfriendly man. You know, a lot of times isolating yourself can cause you to look unfriendly. I know that from experience, from me doing that, from isolating myself and being anxious to be away from people. A lot of times I feel, looking back, like, wow, you probably looked pretty unfriendly during that season, right? And what's happening is when we isolate ourselves, we're usually really inwardly focused on what's going on in our lives, where our hurt, where our pain is, what's missing, and those kind of things. So Proverbs says, a man who isolates himself seeks his own desire, and he rages against all wise judgment. Now, usually, if we know we're isolated and we feel like we've been forgotten, or we feel like we've withdrawn, we don't feel like we're raging against anything. But really, in our actions, we are rebelling against God's plan of connection for us, okay? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14 and 15. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but many. Now, Jesus has always compared Christ's followers to being his body. Jesus is the head, we are the body. Paul said the same thing. Jesus is the head, we're the body of Christ. So even so, the body is not made up of one part, but many. Just like you have a thumb, you have a knee, you have a toe. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. So body ministry, being a follower of Christ, means that we are supposed to be connected. I can't say, well, you know, I'm a thumb. In other words, I'm not like him, or I'm not like her, or I don't do this, or I don't do that. If you are a Christ follower and you are called to life fellowship, then you're still part of the body. It's still important that you not be isolated. And here's one reason. Everyone needs encouragement. Everyone needs encouragement. Have you ever been around someone who was always discouraging and always bitter? We need encouragement. And some people have associated being in church with being discouraged because they've been around religious rule keepers who offer them no hope. But we know, in the name of Jesus, here at Life Fellowship, we are going to be lovers of God and love people, and we're going to give hope. Amen? We're going to encourage you. Every time someone comes into this place, they should receive encouragement from us. You all need encouragement, right? Come on. LSU has a new coach, Coach O. Things are looking pretty good. I'm thinking you guys are probably only going to lose one game this year. So be encouraged. Be encouraged with that, for real. I mean, and it's May, and I'm already starting that trash, right? I think I said in the last couple of weeks, somebody told me that Coach O's mom watches us every once in a while, watches our live feed sometimes. So they're going to be blessed this year. You know that. Good times. We all need encouragement, because life can weigh upon us, just the everyday drudgery of life. And then there are these hidden things that we often deal with that makes us want to isolate ourselves. It makes us want to withdraw. It makes us feel shameful. It makes us feel unworthy, even fearful of being found out. But everyone needs encouragement. So here's what Satan does. Satan loves to isolate Christians. He loves to isolate Christians. He knows that if he can get you separate from the body, if he can get you feeling hopeless and disconnected, then he's going to bring defeat into your life. I remember the hardest part of my life, going through a divorce and going through losing my identity and figuring out just how to make it, I began to isolate myself. And here's what happens. Satan uses that weakness, that we are listening to our emotions, and by faith, we don't confront what those voices are saying. So in many different ways, we began to isolate ourselves. I didn't even want to go anywhere when I was going through this time. I didn't want to go to the ballpark because I would get thrown out of the ballparks because I was angry. And it was just a horrible time. Nothing seemed normal. Even when I would try to go and do something, nothing was normal. I would try to enjoy watching my kids play Little League and things like that, but I wouldn't really talk to anybody. I didn't feel like things were progressing, or I just felt stuck, and I felt like a misfit, and I felt like a failure. Can I be just real transparent with you? I had moved back home, and I would see my friends that I graduated high school and graduated higher in the class than they did, and we were good friends, and we all were at the same level, and we probably would all have similar lives and similar successes. And one of my friends was a bank vice president, and one of them was high up in Home Depot, and one of my good friends was a successful contractor. And I had moved home and had lost my career, lost my job, lost my marriage, didn't was making $12 an hour and was lucky to get that. Man, that's a time when you feel isolated. So the enemy used that. And what he does is he'll take isolation, and then for you to get some relief from that, a lot of times we choose some type of coping mechanism that gives us temporary relief, and we get caught up and stuck. Then for me, it was anger and bitterness. Man, I was right on the edge of angry. And, you know, I've said it jokingly, but I'm ashamed of the fact that, you know, I did get kicked out of a football game because I was yelling at the refs. And then I've told you all that story. My redneck buddy has to lean his head out. I've almost made it, and I'm almost slipping away where they don't notice. And he leans his head out the press box and says, "Oh, don't throw him out. He's a preacher." Thank you, Jerry. I promise you what I wanted to say is I am not. And I wasn't. I was out of ministry, but I was kind of like Peter. You know, when he denied Christ that night. No, I don't have anything to do with that. That's how bitter and how angry I was. And sometimes this isolation can show as depression, self-pity. But here's the thing. Satan knows if he can cause us to hide. You know, when we played hide and go seek, and as I was preparing this and I thought about the name hide and go seek, I don't know how old I was before I realized that's exactly what that game was, hide and go seek. Because where I'm from, I always heard hang go seek. Yeah, I ain't saying it again, but that, just so you know. I was 12 before I knew flow boards were floorboards in a car. And a chest of drawers were not Chester drawers. But anyway, I digress. Satan will isolate you, and it's in the dark where he wants to pull you into the dark. That's where you hide. Then your whole life becomes a life of shadows, and you want out, and you want things to change. I mean, you can be a housewife with a husband that works, and you're taking care of the kids, and husband's busy, and children are busy, and in the middle of being around everyone, you can feel isolated. Because your life has become a drudgery. Your life has lost its hope and lost its promise. Or like I said, through the hurt and pain. That's what did it for me. And I didn't handle hurt, and I didn't let him heal me. So I became isolated. And once you get something, even an animal, that is wounded and isolated, you become prey very quickly. Do you realize that? You can very quickly become prey. And we all have the opportunity to become prey of the enemy. But we also have the opportunity to realize we are not alone. And that just in the middle of that darkness, remember this, because I've told you this story before, but I haven't told you from this side of isolation. Remember how you come out of isolation. Somebody connects with you. First of all, you have God. And yes, there's some times when it's just going to be you and God. But I promise you, in your healing, there will be a time when you come out of isolation and you connect. And for me, it was Benny. Remember my friend Benny coming in and believing in me and encouraging me and seeing me, holding me accountable. And it was Michael Montgomery and Den and Bonnie Hussey, who I could finally come out of my isolation, let them see who I was so that I could be healed. Listen, and this reminds me of Matthew 12, 9 through 13, where Jesus is ministering on a Sabbath, and the Pharisees are trying to trick him. And they say, now, is it legal to heal on the Sabbath? And, well, they knew that technically it wasn't. But Jesus said, which one of you, if you had a sheep fall in a pit on the Sabbath, wouldn't you raise him up? And he said, so yeah, I'm going to do what needs to be done on the Sabbath, and I'm going to heal this man. And this man had a withered hand. And in those days, you would hide your weaknesses like that. It was seen as a public weakness. So if you had a withered hand, you might keep it tucked in your cloak. You would isolate your weakness. You would be sure that it made you alone, more than loneliness. It removed you from where God wanted you. When Jesus got ready to heal him, he said, stretch it out. Let me see it. Part of the process of healing is when Jesus says, it's okay. I see your weakness. I see your pain. I see your isolation. Now stretch it out. Let somebody help you. Let somebody connect with you during your pain, because it's in your weakness where my strength is made perfect. Everybody say, stretch it out. So sometimes coming out of isolation means I'm going to let somebody see my weakness. It may be an accountability partner. It may be professional counseling. Or it may just be coming back to God and realizing I'm not alone. You are with me. Connect me. Bring me out of isolation before the enemy destroys me. Now, if we're not going to be isolated, then we need to understand this. Gathering matters, okay? Now, we call them services, Sunday service, Wednesday service, but really we could just call them gatherings. It's when we gather together. It matters that we gather together. Now, for a long time, you know, I've been in church all my life, and I don't like hearing preachers preach about, you got to be in church, and they're just beating you over the head because you miss church. You ever feel that way? I growing up in churches, I felt, I've heard preachers say, real Christians come to church on Sunday night. It became my experience that tired Christians went to church on Sunday night. But it's, you would feel bad. You would be made to feel bad if you weren't there every time the doors are open. I want you to know that that's not what I'm trying to do this morning. But I do want to tell you that being here and gathering together matters. As a matter of fact, just as sure as you preach on something like this, somebody I hadn't saw in a long time came in the door and said, man, we've been out of town for 3 weeks. We're about to go out of town. I understand that, okay? I get that. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about when we choose not to gather, when we choose to do something else, and we have a choice. Look in Hebrews chapter 10, 23 through 25. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. All right, so we're starting off with an encouragement. Hold on to what God has promised. This faith that we have confessed in Christ, he's faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Not giving up gathering together. Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Listen, this is not just talking about church attendance. This is talking about connectedness that brings us out of isolation. We are taught, hold on, consider one another. See, when we are together, we should consider what's going on in the life of the person next to me. What's going on? I want to be aware, and I want to consider where you are so that when we agree together, we can walk together. So if one falls, the other can pick them up, because we're walking in agreement and we're not forsaking, we're not giving up on our gatherings. Does that make sense to you? A lot of times we come to church and we gather when we're going through hell and high water, when things are really hard. A lot of times we turn to God and we're pretty consistent. Boy, God, I need you to move in my marriage. I need you to move in my finances. I need you to do this or I need you to do that. And then God blesses us and we're doing well. And what happens? We begin to forsake the connections that made us well. And that is a tactic of the enemy. So gathering matters. Can I just be real transparent with you this morning? Okay. I can get discouraged by this. I can get discouraged by the numbers. Because I'm just going to be honest. I'm not trying to make you feel bad, but I do cry when you're not here. I mean, I wouldn't put a guilt trip on you. When I was a pastor in 2002, I had an office, and the church was growing. There was a lot of people, and I had a window in my office that I would literally, because I could look out on the parking lot, I would close the blinds because I was afraid to look out there because I just thought any given Sunday they're going to stop coming. I know you think that's silly, but I'm just telling you, that's how I would think. And pastors, when we talk, when I talk to Dan, I talk about, man, if I could get everybody there at once, it'd be awesome, you know? But rarely do we get everybody here. And I understand life happens. Listen, I was talking to somebody this morning who God has made them be able to go back to work after a long time of illness, and they work a lot of Sundays. I totally get that. I'm not talking about those kind of things. But I'm just saying it is so encouraging. Everybody say encouraging. When we are all together, gathered together, not out of some guilt trip because pastor's making us feel guilty because he's afraid y'all going to leave him. No, don't worry about that. He'll get over it. No, because there is power, get this, in oneness. And this is what I've taught you for a year. There's power in oneness. Could it be that someone could have avoided isolation if you had been here? If you were connected, if you were in a small group, what are you talking about, Pastor Keith? See, it's not about what you miss when you're not here, when you're not in the gathering, when you're not in the body and not connected. It's also about what the body misses by you not being here. And so when we come together, there is an anointing that doesn't happen anywhere else. It doesn't happen any other time except for when the body of Christ gets together and God commands a special blessing and a special anointing on that. I can't get it in my prayer closet. I'm sorry, but most of the time I can't get it online, although we're glad you're there and you can give online. But there's a special anointing in the house. When we are one, are y'all with me? Does anybody feel condemned by that? Because that's not my desire. I don't want to condemn you. I want us to understand how powerful and how precious it is. I'm going to say this again. I want us to understand how powerful and how precious it is when brothers dwell together in ministry. And I can't notice everybody, but if we're all connected and we consider it precious that we dwell together in unity, then we're going to cover everybody. We're going to see that, and we're going to lift up the discouraged, and we're going to be there for the hurting. And here's one thing we're not going to do. We're not going to judge the weak. We are absolutely not going to make it hard for someone that's isolated to become inclusive. We are not going to be exclusive with our judgments because we are all like sheep. We have all gone astray. We have all felt pain. We have all felt loneliness. We have all felt bitterness. Are you with me? But there's a shepherd that left 99 that were doing good and 99 who had it together, and he went after the one. Guess what that one was? That one was isolated. But Jesus made effort to say, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm not going to leave you isolated. And that's what we are going to do, Life Fellowship, in the name of Jesus. We're going to love God, and we're going to love people out of their isolation and bring them into relationship and bring them into joy and into peace and into the love of Christ. Because we're not going to forsake our gatherings. There's power in that. All right. Let me move on before I get anybody upset. Well, before I do, in Hebrews it says, consider one another. And I told you, be aware. Consider one another. A lot of times we're isolated because we're not considering others. And in my worst isolation, all I could think about was my own pain and my own shame, and how could I do this any good? Like I said, I wind up looking for things that could wind up be the time I was doing something. And he brings you out of isolation. How about the time? All right? The negative isolation where we're cut off and we feel hopeless and we fit it. And like we don't have but sometimes God isolates. See, Jeremiah was called a weeping prophet. Jeremiah was a prophet of God. He was a mouthpiece of God. But called the weeping prophet, God had him out there alone. Listen, when Jeremiah came to town, he didn't come in and, he prophesied a Cadillac to me. Yes, he prophesied a husband. All right. No. When they saw Jeremiah coming, they started tearing their clothes and pouring ashes on their head because they knew this dude was about to bring a word like God is going to, and it was just some hard stuff that wasn't very popular. Right? Don't have a lot of unpopular prophets these days, do we? All right, But Jeremiah was unpopular. I mean, some of the stuff God told him to do, I don't even want to tell you. You have to read it. It's too graphic for me to tell you what he did. Laying outside of town, laying in the dirt, doing stuff God told him to do, looking very isolated. But God had him isolated. At the same time, Jeremiah is the one that said, plans that I have for you, plans to bless you, plans to prosper. He's the one that said, God formed me from my womb. The one that God said, don't worry about what to say. When you get in front of people, I'll give you every word today. So using him before he elevated him. He got him alone so that he would not be dysfunctional when God got ready to use him. So don't confuse when God's isolating. Some of my greatest growth times was when God had stripped everything away. You know, when you want to fix something, and I think this is right for computers. I know I hear it in biological sciences and things. You have to isolate the problem, right? Once you isolate what the problem is, then you can deal with it. And a lot of times God isolates us for a season. Lamentation says sometimes it's good to sit alone. Sometimes it's good to bear the yoke alone because I'm isolating a problem. And think about the Bible in several cases talks about God stripping things away from his people. Why? How many of you remember doing some just simple math in school? When you had a problem that was hard to solve, first of all, you would isolate the variable. Y'all remember that one? I'm just saying that to impress you. I don't even know what it means. I just read it somewhere. You isolate the variable. That's what you do. Now, what you do is if X is what you're looking for, you try to get X isolated on one side of the equation. Then you can figure out, 2 plus 2 equal X. Well, X is 4. See, it is hard stuff. Sometimes God is isolating you. Now, get this. This is what I really want to say to you. I talk to people who have been through this. I talk to people who have recovered from divorce, who have recovered from hurts, hang-ups, habits, addictions. And here, in many words, this is what I'm hearing them say. God simplified me. God simplified me. Just like that math problem. You have to simplify it so you can solve it. And I can tell you, God, sometimes he's simplifying you so that he can solve some problems in your life and so that he can use you and show you the answer that he's had for you all the time. So sometimes when God isolates, first of all, he's not going to leave you there. Even that scripture in Lamentations says, but he won't reject forever. He's not going to leave you alone. He is going to bring you back into connection. Okay, but he's going to grow you. He's going to put a deep joy and a peace in you that goes beyond understanding and beyond circumstances. This is what I want you to know about sometimes when God isolates. Psalm 46:1 says this, God is our refuge and strength. He is an ever-present. Everyone say present. He's a present help in the time of trouble. He's a present help in the time of trouble. He's a right now God. Right now. Do you need help right now? Are you in trouble right now? Is there trouble in your life? Then God is a present help right now. He is a refuge right now. I grew up fishing with my dad, and when I would go fishing with dad, you stayed all day. He was a brim fisherman. We call him perch down here now. We always called him brim or bluegill. We would anchor out or stake out on these beds, and we may fish on one bed for hours, 4, 5, 6 hours during the day, just fill up an ice box with fish. And but sometimes when you're out there all day in the spring and summer, these big storms blow in, these big summer thunderstorms. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Scary wind starts blowing, water's white capping, it's raining sideways. And so we would crank up our motor, and many times I can remember we would run down the river to the nearest camp, and those camps were up on stilts. Now, we didn't own the camp. We didn't have a key to the camp. A lot of them were abandoned, but we could seek refuge during the storm by getting under one of those camps that were on stilts, and we can get out of the storm for a while until the storm passes by. Can I tell you today, if you're feeling isolated in a storm of life, that God is a refuge that can hide you until the storm passes by. He says that he draws near to the brokenhearted. He says that he is a refuge and a strength and a present help in a time of trouble. So I want to encourage you today. I want to encourage you. Don't let Satan use isolation against you. And if you feel like God is isolating you, trust him that he's simplifying things so that he can solve some problems for you and then give you the blessings and the purpose that he has for you. As Trey comes, would you stand with me? Isolated. I know the feeling. For me, it really went to hiding, because I started doing things that I wanted to hide, and it carried over. If you're not careful, even after you've came out of your bondage, you can have some old habits that kind of stick with you, that make you want to isolate yourself. Being a Christ follower is about connection. It's about connecting to God and connecting to people. And can I tell you, that goes beyond your personality. It goes beyond your personality. It doesn't matter if you're a private person or a loner or you're sanguine or outgoing. We are called to be connected. God said in the beginning, when he created Adam and Eve, in the beginning, he said, "It is not good for man to be alone." He has created us for connection. So if there's something in your life that's isolating you, this morning I want to pray for you. If you feel isolated, if you feel disconnected, if you feel forgotten, if you feel like nobody cares, sometimes you can definitely feel that way. You can feel that way and be married and living in a house full of people and feel isolated. I have felt isolated sitting in a church of hundreds of people, because I just knew nobody knew what I was feeling right then. Nobody knew that when I was sitting back there, not singing, not raising my hands, not worshiping, gripping the back of a chair just like this, nobody knew that that song they were singing reminded me of one of the best days of my life that was gone. Nobody knew. So I was isolated. If you're feeling something like that this morning, it can happen to anybody at any stage. But God wants to be that help right now in your time of trouble. And we want to be a brother, a friend that sticks closer than a brother. That's not Jesus. You say, "Oh, that's Jesus. He's a friend that sticks closer to a brother." Yes, he is, but that's not what that scripture's saying. That scripture's literally talking about a friend like you or me that's closer than a brother. My brother lives in North Georgia. If I've got a problem and I need help right now, I need you. He's not going to be able to come down here and help me. Do you understand that? I want you to let God bring you out of isolation this morning, and I want you to understand that none of us carry shame that should keep us from connecting with one another. Hey, I promise you this at Life Fellowship, just as sure as God will give you a clean slate, we'll give you a clean slate. Amen? Because we've all needed it over and over and over. I have. As a matter of fact, I need a clean slate every morning. I do. Because the Bible says his mercies are new every morning.